2 Kings 14:23. In the 15th year of Amaziah, son of Josiah, king of Judah, Jeroboam, son of Joash, king of Israel, became king in Samaria, and he reigned 41 years. He did evil in the eyes of the Lord and did not turn away from any of the sins of Jeroboam, son of Nebat, with which he had caused Israel to commit. He was the one who restored the boundaries of Israel from Lebo Hamath to the Sea of Arabah, in accordance with the word of the Lord, the God of Israel, spoken through his servant Jonah, son of Amittai, the prophet from Gath Hepher. The Lord had seen how bitterly everyone in Israel, whether slave or free, was suffering, and there was no one to help them. Since the Lord had not said he would blot out the name of Israel from under heaven, he saved them by the hand of Jeroboam, son of Joash. Let's bow together. Oh God, although we know the story, the story of Jonah that is in your word, we do not understand that story that we read in the book that bears his name is only a few months out of his life. Oh God, may we be different than he, that we might be prepared through days like we live in today, that if you come in the sunshine of your glory, that we might be ready for your appearance. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to talk today about Jonah. Now, you may say Jonah is not a lesser light because we know the story of Jonah. It's in the book of Jonah, and everyone knows the story about Jonah and the great fish and being swallowed and how he was one of the world's greatest inventors. He not only invented the submarine, but also the ejection seat. But we need to understand that the book of Jonah is only a very small part of Jonah's life. And that God was working in this man to prepare him for a day that he didn't know was coming. But when the day came, he failed the test. And I have to ask, even though we are living in very dark days today, are we ready for God to come? Are we ready to pass the test? Are we prepared? Are we preparing ourselves during this day that if God returns in the power of his glory, will we be like Jonah? Or will we be like Moses? Let's look at Jonah's life. First of all, we know about Jonah that he lived in a declining era. Look at verse 24 in 2 Kings 14. Notice what it says, that Jeroboam the second did evil in the eyes of the Lord and did not turn away from the sins of Jeroboam, son of Nebat. This was a day when the leadership was doing evil things. Recognize those days? He was a prophet in a day when spiritually God's people were on the way down. But, it didn't show physically yet. And you know, there is always a gap between our actions and its consequences. Notice that while Israel was spiritually going downhill, physically they were prospering. Notice verse 25, it says, this Jeroboam, even though he did evil in the sight of the Lord, he was the one who restored the boundaries of Israel. From the farthest north, from Lebo Hamath to the Dead Sea, he conquered the people of Ammon that had been a thorn in Israel's side. He conquered Moab. At the same time that Israel spiritually is declining, physically they are going up. And you know, we've lived in times like that. I don't know that we're still in those times, but we have lived in times like that. Throughout most of my lifetime, the spiritual condition of America has been declining. Certainly throughout the 60s and the 70s and the 80s and the 90s. I remember when I first got saved in 1975, just little things. Like, people were appalled at the rancidness of the music of the time. Not just in the church, but in the society. The double entendre, the sexual promiscuity, the building up of drugs and rebellion. Now today, that music sounds tame. And the people that grew up on that music are now accepting of all the stuff that's come from it. I was born in 1959. Had I been born, or I should say conceived, 3 years later, it's very questionable as to whether I'd ever been born because I was given up for adoption. 1962, Roe v. Wade passed through the Supreme Court by fiat. The judges came up with a right, a so-called right that no one had ever heard of to that day, that said you have a right to kill unborn children. Since then, we've killed 70 million children. Do you realize that that's more people than died in all of World War II? But because they're not seen, because it goes on behind closed doors in a surgical procedure, it's not accounted as any great thing. I can remember the day when, yes, there was promiscuity, but it was rare. And it was kept hidden. We've now graduated to a day when parents counsel their children to live with someone before marriage. I remember the day when parents were appalled that their children lived with someone without being married. We have been in a day of decline for most of the life of everyone in this room. And you know who I feel the saddest for is for our children. Because they've known nothing but this low state of spiritual life. C.S. Lewis, in the 1950s, said, the church in America is quickly becoming, and already is, and that was 60-some years ago, has already become a person who was born in a prison and has never been outside of prison. Can you imagine being born in a prison? Your mother being a prisoner in a maximum security prison. Never seeing the sun except through bars. Never eating food except for the slop that's thrown on the trays. Can you imagine growing up in that environment? Never seeing the world except through razor wire. That's what the young people that we're raising have become. They think that the way colleges are is normal today. I remember when even in the secular world, having co-ed dormitories was unthinkable. Now, those are the days that Jonah lived in. But just like America has been throughout this time, while our morals and our spiritual life have been declining, there has been an increase in our physical. We won the Cold War. We put a man on the moon. We had the greatest expansion of our economy through the 80s and the 90s. More people became more wealthy than ever in the history of our nation. Declining morals and increasing. And those are the days that Jonah lived in. And God was preparing him for something, but he got desensitized because he saw all the blessing of God in spite of. All of the sin that was going on. And he learned the wrong lesson. He learned the lesson that God will tolerate sin among his people. And you know, my great fear is that we have a lot of young people growing up today in the church in America who have reached the conclusion that God will tolerate sin. There were four lessons that Jonah needed to learn. There were four lessons that Jonah needed to learn. Let me lay them out for you. First of all, he needed to learn that God is in control of the affairs of nations. We obviously see that he didn't learn this in this time of evil. Maybe he deluded himself. Maybe he came to believe that somehow he was exempt. That God's people were exempt. But I want you to look at when God appeals to Job for the great mission that he had prepared him for. Notice what happens. Look at Jonah chapter 1, verses 1 to 3. What a precious thing this is. Look at Jonah chapter 1. 1 to 3. The word of the Lord came to Jonah. You know, we live, I started preaching 30 years ago. The word that says in the word of God, the day will come when there will be a famine upon the land, a famine not of bread, but of hearing the word of God. We're entering that day. You know how rare it is to hear God speak? I hear people that they go to special events. Somebody just went to a special event last week. And I said, so how was it? And they said, well, you know, It's always good when you go and hear somebody preach the word, but everything in their voice said, it wasn't what I was looking for. And do you experience that? You go to something and you go, oh, you know, I remember just this summer, I was so excited to go down to the Ocean City Tabernacle to hear someone. Sung his music for years. The words are just so powerful. I walked away going, do you feel that way? Do you experience that? You say, isn't there something more from God? Can't God really speak to me? And I know there are people here that say, there was a day when God was speaking to me in powerful ways. The word of the Lord came to Jonah. Do you value every word that God speaks to you, no matter how small it may seem, no matter how much it contradicts your thinking, no matter how much you disagree with it? Do you say, this is the word of the Lord? The word of the Lord came to Jonah. In dark days like Jonah lived, it should have been a blessed thing. Jonah should have been on his face saying, thank you, God, for speaking. God's word was very clear to Jonah. It said, go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it, because its wickedness has come up before me. You know, when God speaks, he often speaks very clear and very direct things. God seldom just gives us generalized. God seldom shows up to just go, that's okay. Just keep going however you want to. When God shows up, it's because he has something important to say. And his message was very clear. Jonah knew exactly what God wanted. But look at verse 3. It says, but Jonah ran away. All those years of being a prophet, all those years of seeing God's kindness, all those years of understanding, or maybe not understanding. And when God speaks to Jonah a clear word, he runs away. I've had people say to me, I don't know if I could take God really showing up in a real revival. I don't know how I'd handle it. That's a tragic statement. Why did Jonah run away? Why did Jonah run away? Let me give you some answers to that question. First of all, he didn't trust God. How often do we think we know better than God? How often do we think, God, no, not that way, not this time. God, I've got a better plan. He didn't trust God. Second of all, he didn't share God's heart. We're going to look at that in just a minute in more detail. He didn't share God's heart. I so often hear today, people say things that are just out of touch with the heart of God. There's a dangerous thing about being out of touch with the heart of God. Because when you're out of touch with the heart of God, when God draws near, you run away. Look at Adam in the garden. When Adam was in touch with God's heart, when God came down, they walked together in the cool of the day. But when Adam was out of touch with God's heart, when God came down, what did Adam do? He ran and hid. Do you understand that holy confluence of both holiness and purity and yet love? Boy, we fall off that so easy. We fall off on one side or the other. We stress God's love to the place where God becomes a dotting old grandfather in heaven. He doesn't have the brains to figure out who's naughty and nice. Nor does he have the wits left to do anything about it. Or we tend to become hardened. And we see God's justice without understanding how deep his compassion goes. He didn't understand that God was in control, so he ran away. Second of all, Jonah never understood. Second of all, he never understood that God must discipline his people. Jonah wanted God to discipline the heathen. You know, isn't that our response? Get them, God. Have you watched the movie The End of the Spear? Some people say, oh, gee, you know, if I get a movie that God speaks through, man, I'll watch it 100 times. My family says, you've seen it before. Yeah. But there's this wonderful scene in The End of the Spear. The son says to the father, you will defend yourself, won't you, Dad? Because even the son understood that the Alka people had killed, the Wahadani people had killed everyone that went in to try to meet them. You will defend yourself, Dad, as he's putting the rifle into the plane. He says, no, son, they're not ready for heaven. We are. Oh. He didn't understand that God has to discipline his people. Look with me at Proverbs 3. It's quoted in Hebrews 12. But look with me at Proverbs 3. These words, Proverbs 3. You see, Jonah had the word of God. This isn't future word. This isn't something he wasn't responsible for. This was God had already revealed before his day. This had been revealed 200 years. And you know, the Bible, hundreds of years just kind of compacts together, and it seems like, you know, 100 here, 1,000 there. But you know, think about where America was 200 years ago. We hadn't been a nation for 25 years. Had barely been a nation 25 years, 200 years ago. Jonah had plenty of time to know God's word. Here's what God's word says, Proverbs 3, 11 and 12. Proverbs 3, 11 and 12. My son, do not despise the Lord's discipline, and do not resent his rebuke, because the Lord disciplines those he loves as a father the son he delights in. Didn't understand that God had to disappoint. He was looking at Nineveh and saying, oh, Nineveh might attack us. God, wipe them out. Don't give them warning. Wipe them out. But he didn't understand God was in control. If God wanted Nineveh to rise, there was nothing anyone, including Jonah, could do to stop it. And when God was done with Nineveh, there's nothing anyone could do to stop its destruction. But second of all, he didn't understand that if God allowed Nineveh to attack Israel, it was because God has to discipline his people. We've become soft in America. We want messages about blessing. We want messages about being built up. But you know, we don't need more blessing in America. We need more discipline. And those days are coming. You say, oh, if God loved us. No, if God loved us, he would discipline us. You know those words you never believe when you're a kid, and then when you say them as an adult, you know that they're true, but your kids will never believe them until they're an adult. This hurts me more than it hurts you. And as a kid, you go, yeah, right. As a parent, you know how true it is. God disciplines his people because he loves them. And he needs to make them the people they need to be. Jonah didn't understand that. Third of all, he didn't understand that God loves those who aren't his people. You know, we can get so myopic in our thing. It's all about us. But it's about them. Do you know what the first words God said to Abraham, the first person who has said to have faith in the Bible? When God started the concept of, I am going to have a special people, a people that belong to me, and Abraham, you're going to be the father of all of them. Do you know what the first words he said was? Look at Genesis 12. The first words he said to the founder of all of God's people, because Old or New Testament, every believer is a child of Abraham. He was the father of Israel, and he's also the father of all those that believe, the New Testament teaches us. This is what God said. Genesis 12, the Lord had said to Abram, leave your country, your people, your father's household, and go to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you, period, end of story. Oh, no, there's a little more. I will make your name great, period, end of story. That's where it ends. And you will be a blessing. Jonah thought that God's blessing on him and on Israel was a blessing for their own sake. Oh, God, aren't you glad you're... Boy, doesn't that sound so much like the church today? Bless me, bless me, bless me, bless me. He didn't understand that everything God does for you, he does so that you can do it with someone else. Everything God gives you, you are to be a conduit to others. God's blessing isn't so I can sit back and go, woohoo! God's blessing is so that I can be a blessing. Jonah didn't see that. That's why Jonah's book ends. Look at the book of Jonah, the last handful of verses. Jonah chapter 4, beginning at verse 9. Jonah 4, beginning at verse 9. Jonah 4:9. But the Lord said to Jonah, Do you have a right to be angry about the vine? Man, we love our rights today. You've got a right to this, a right to that. I have a right! Not in front of God, you don't. Neither do I. But the Lord said, you have been, and Jonah, listen to the pestilent child that Jonah is. I do! Like a 3-year-old. I'm angry enough to die! You know, if I thank God I'm not God, because if somebody ever said that to me, I'd say, really? Let me show you what you think of that. John Wesley said every believer, when they first get saved, ought to spend the first 10 minutes of their Christian life in hell. Then maybe they'd live the Christian life the right way. But the Lord said, you have been concerned enough about this vine. Oh, we get concerned about little things that won't matter in eternity, don't we? Our house, our car, our bank account. I guarantee you, no one in heaven is going to say, how much did you die with in the bank account? How many rooms was in your house? They may ask how many rooms are in your house in glory, not the one down here. Though you did not tend it or make it grow, it sprang up overnight and died overnight. You know, we act as though all this stuff we have is ours. He said, Jonah, you didn't make it. But Nineveh has more than 120,000 people. Do you realize there's over 10 million people just in New Jersey? 100 times those that were in Nineveh. Who cannot tell their right hand from their left. Does that mean that they couldn't go, lefty Lucy? No. They didn't know right from wrong. They didn't know up and down. They didn't know the difference between heaven and hell. They were so spiritually blind that they thought they were going the right way when they were headed for a cliff. He said they don't know their right hand from their left. And many cattle as well. He says, I'm even concerned about the animals. Should I not be concerned about that city? Do you realize Jonah wasn't willing to go to Nineveh? Do you realize just our little county of Gloucester, that Gloucester County has almost 3 times the population of Nineveh? There's almost 350,000 people in this county. How willing are we to go? But Jonah, he wanted justice. He wanted Nineveh to pay. He didn't want Israel to pay. But he wanted Nineveh to pay. You know, there's this great verse in Revelation. Turn with me to the book of Revelation, chapter 10. Revelation chapter 10. Revelation chapter 10. Verse 9, Revelation 10:9. In Revelation 10:9, here's what it says. So I went to the angel and asked him to give me the little scroll, and he said to me, take it and eat it. It will turn your stomach sour, but in your mouth it will be sweet as honey. I took the little scroll from the angel's hand and ate it. It tasted sweet as honey in my mouth. But when I had eaten it, my stomach turned sour. Now there's a lot of discussion today. What is that scroll? I believe it is the scroll of the judgments that were still to come upon the earth. And when John on that island of Patmos saw that God was going to judge the earth, his initial reaction was, woohoo! They're finally gonna get theirs. when that really sank in, when it really sank in that hell is forever. It's not just that they're going to learn a lesson. It's not just that you're going to threaten them and they'll see the light. When he saw how God's final judgment is eternal, it turned his stomach. And you know, there's people that we rub shoulders with every day that will be in hell forever. It's coming like a freight train. Some of us live with them in the same house. All of us work with them. Some of us, they're our parents or our children. There's none of us that it's not one of our relatives, our uncles, our aunts, our cousins. You see, Jonah just didn't understand God's ways. And I want to end with this little thing, because I wonder if Jonah would have gone to Nineveh with the right spirit. Nineveh, in a very short time after Jonah's life, is going to invade Israel and destroy it. Nineveh was the capital of the Assyrian Empire. It is going to totally destroy the nation of Israel. And that's what Jonah didn't want to happen. So he thought, I'll run away and they'll be destroyed. But I want to raise a what if. Because see, Jonah, number four. Number one, he didn't understand God was in control. Number two, he didn't understand that God has to discipline his people. Number three, he didn't see that God loves the other people. And number four, he just didn't understand God's ways. He just didn't understand how God does things. And you know, there's a lot of us that don't. I hear people all the time say, oh, you know, I'm so concerned about my child or my parent or my husband or my wife. But they're not concerned about the neighbor. They spend all their time thinking about the people in their own household and none to the neighbor down the street or the person at work. I wonder if Jonah had gone to Nineveh with the right spirit. Look what happened in the book of Jonah when he went with the wrong spirit. I wonder if Jonah would have said, yes, Lord, here I am. May I go to Nineveh and disciple them in the ways of God? Might God have done such a great work in the city of Nineveh, not just a momentary repentance, but if they'd have had somebody to disciple them, to teach them the true ways of God, might that whole empire have been converted? And might Israel have been spared? We'll never know, will we? But if Jonah had just understood God's ways, if he'd have just understood God's heart, if he'd have just learned the lessons he was supposed to learn in all those years he was a prophet, how things might have been different. Let me ask you, we're in tough days when it doesn't seem God's doing anything, just like in Jonah's days. Things are just getting worse and worse and worse, and it's easy to throw up your hands. Are you learning the lessons? Because you don't know that tomorrow God won't come to you and say, I have a message. I'm going to reach the whole nation of Assyria. You don't know that God isn't going to say, I'm going to reach the nation of New Jersey. Some of you young people sitting here, you don't know that God, if you just got on fire for Jesus Christ, that he couldn't change this whole state. It's happened before. Maybe this time, the next revival, every revival up till now has happened when young people got on fire for Christ. Men in their 20s, seldom as old as 30. Maybe this will be the time when God will say, because all the societies before us, they valued age and they had contempt upon youth. Maybe this will be the time that God says, I'll take the old people. What could God do if he truly got a hold of your heart? Look what he did with Jonah, and he didn't even have his heart. Let's bow together. Oh God, may we have light today from the life of this man Jonah. Oh, if the only message we had from him was the one in 2 Kings, we could say he was a man of God, he was a prophet, but we have the book that bears his name. And, oh, how sad that it says in the end, he never really got who you were. Lord, help us to learn our lessons today. Help us to learn your holiness and your love. Help us to understand that you are the God that's in control. You have no problem with the enemies. It's only, the only problem you ever have is with your people. God, help us to understand these things. Help us to learn your ways. In Jesus' name, amen.